Your dreams, ambitions, and priorities are what make you unique. With Associated Bank Private Wealth, we've got you. Our personalized approach to wealth planning puts your goals at the center of your plan. Visit associatedbank.com/private wealth. Member FDIC.
Thought Leader Thursday this morning, Doug Myers is here from Associated Bank. He's an SVP and Private Banking Regional Manager there. Doug, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning. Good to be here. Thank you.
How do you like our new digs?
I'm very impressed.
Yeah.
You guys have overnight gone into the 21st century studios.
It's pretty cool. We have everything's kind of new here at 303 Wacker. Of course, we've been talking about it a lot on the air, but it's nice to host you here for our new digs.
Thank you. I'm impressed.
Good. Well, that's what we're shooting for. Let's start with some headlines in the news. We've been watching the last few days. Markets react to, again, more trade problems. How is this impacting wealth management?
Well, certainly the last couple days and the last couple weeks have been one of a little bit of turmoil in the markets based on, I think, the tariffs that President Trump is proposing to goods coming out of China into our country. I think he feels like the trade imbalance is significant enough to impose tariffs, and that's causing a lot of angst and turmoil in the markets. We saw yesterday where he announced another $200 billion in tariffs against the 50 he'd already proposed to China, and that's certainly causing a lot of angst. I know I saw yesterday where the beer and distillery business might be hurt a little bit as a result, and that rattles investors, and that rattles the markets a little bit. And I think short term, we could be in for more turmoil and angst. I think long term, we might be better off if he can figure out a way to solve the trade imbalance. Mm-hmm. But certainly in the short term, it's going to cause some damage a little bit in the market.
I've heard more than one economic advisor over the past few days say, time to take some money off the table, time to maybe look at more safe areas of wealth management and making money.
Well, I think that's certainly true, although, you know, with a good financial advisor and you've got a good strategy in place, it's kind of hard to time the market per se and know what's coming. And if you're well diversified and you have a definite plan and strategy, I think over the long term, that has been found to be certainly more advantageous than trying to time the market and try to move stocks in and out based on today's headlines. And, you know, we really try to tell our clients, let's develop a strategy around a good financial plan and have your goals set in place. And then there's less back and forth you have to do with your portfolio if you do stick to your strategic goals.
Mm-hmm. And this all comes, I mean, I don't want to, we shouldn't, neither of us should sound negative on what's happening because we're still really, we have a good thing going.
All the indicators are very strong. I mean, businesses are making money. I think, you know, notwithstanding the hiccups of the current trade imbalance issues, but overall, the analytics are very strong in the market. The companies are making profit. The economy is good. Unemployment is not an all-time low, but certainly the last 30, 40 years, it's an all-time low. And I think all the analytics, like I said, are very strong for a continued good market.
One of the reports I wanted to get your take on this morning was from Boston Consulting Group. They released their report, Global Wealth 2018, and it shows that in 2017, global wealth increased in a lot of different categories, the U.S. leading the way. So there's a lot of wealth out there.
And that's always been the case. And I think Western Europe falls quite a bit behind the North America when you throw in, you know, Canada and the United States. But I think that, like I said, the fundamentals in this country are very strong. I think the world still looks to the United States for being the guiding light in certainly the world economy.
The report seemed to suggest that those people who are wealthy and have the wealth, they're pretty much set with their financial advisors. But the challenge for folks like you is to cultivate the audience on the lower end that haven't come up with a financial advisor yet. Is that a real world scenario in your life? I mean, do you find that you need to find more people who haven't come on board yet?
Absolutely. And when you look at the cycle of investing, you know, if you can start with the, you know, if you're like in your early 20s out of getting out of college and starting a job, if you can start early in saving for your retirement via 401ks with company matches or even IRAs, if you don't have the 401k ability and the corporate match, you know, if you can start in your 20s, you get such a head start. And in looking at the numbers right now, you know, if you're 30 years old, I think, you know, you should have had a 5 or 10 year head start on investing. But those people, when they were in their early 20s, had the recession. And so times were pretty tough in 06, 07, and 08, and certainly 09. And they didn't have that benefit of starting early because of the distressed environment we had back in the recession. And so that's hurt the people who are now 30 and coming into their early 30s with more earning power and higher wages. So they're going to have to catch up a little bit, and they're going to have to put more in, because when you're, you know, 20 years fast forward into your 50s and 60s, when you're looking at retirement, they're going to have to make up that balance and that shortfall. So I think that is their challenge. And yes, we are looking for clients, and you have to advise younger clients a little bit differently than you do with people who have already, you know, retained or made their nest egg and are ready to go into retirement age.
What are some of the questions you get from folks who are new to this? I mean, is there uneasiness, or do they jump in with both feet, or how would you describe it?
There's not an uneasiness, and I think everybody is confused about what to do. And, you know, when we sit down with people, we start with, you know, where they are in their life, where they want to be in the next 10 to 15 years. And it's more than just talking about investments and the stock market and 401ks and IRAs, but it's about risk, and it's about insurance, and it's about planning on all these things as you begin to build wealth and you begin to get assets and you begin to get established in your career. And there's a lot of things that go into it with financial planning and the risk and insurance products and investment products. So it's just more than watching the market and watching your cash balances go up and down. There's a lot of technicality involved in financial planning. And we certainly, like I said earlier, we want to stick to a plan and have a strategy. And, you know, there's always bumps and hills and bumps along the way, but you want to stick to your strategy and have a plan.
I saw this article, and it sort of goes along after we just marked Father's Day, some data on demographically different folks talking about dads, that is, talking about finances in their family. And it said that kids, the younger group, age 18 to 34, talk more about their finances openly at home with their spouses and their families than their dads did or are. I grew up in one of these households where I never heard my dad talking about finance, but today the kids are doing it.
Yeah, I think it's a culture thing, and I think it's a, you know, I look back to my house, and my mom didn't work. She took care of the kids, and my dad took care of the finances, and my mom didn't really know what was going on with our family finances. And I think the culture is a little bit different now, where obviously more women in the workplace, or, you know, the working spouse, whether it's man or woman. And I think that there's just a different culture in including both spouses in these conversations, because I think that's important as couples get married and want to have a financial future together, per se. I think that's very important to communicate and be on the same page with your financial plan.
Mm-hmm. Because either one of the spouses could be an accident. You could be left without your spouse, and to not have that knowledge could be devastating.
Absolutely. And it goes back to the whole financial planning conversation around risk, around disablement, as you mentioned. And I think all these things come into play in a financial plan. Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about technology. I don't know if you saw the latest AI development with the IBM debater, but it seems like artificial intelligence is kind of taking over in a lot of different areas, becoming really smart. How is this technology impacting what you do?
Well, I would say on the upper wealth end, it hasn't really affected it as much as maybe those earlier investors, maybe the younger investors, as we've been talking about. And some of the companies are really pushing artificial intelligence on portfolio construction and trying to anticipate what the market's going to do and what the individual's going to do. I mean, that's what artificial intelligence is all about. And I think a lot of the firms are trying to figure out how we can introduce artificial intelligence for portfolio construction and monitoring and monitoring trades and shifting accounts and that sort of thing. And, you know, the jury's out on that. But I still say technology is an enabler, not a replacement right. for financial advice.
I love that.
And I think that's a really good thought to consider when you're talking to a financial advisor, that nothing replaces that one-on-one individual human interaction.
On the technology front, 68% of financial service respondents in one survey said that learning about new technologies and implementing them is one of their biggest challenges. I often think about this from my standpoint. It's like, what am I missing out on if I don't know these technologies? Am I losing perhaps some wealth building?
You know, I think it all goes back to sitting down with an expert and a professional and analyzing what your goals are and what your financial plan roadmap needs to be and sticking with it. And so I'm a big proponent on the one-on-one human interaction with a professional financial planner and a financial expert and sticking to the plan and sticking to a strategy.
I'm a big proponent, too, of finding a millennial and becoming friends with them or maybe working closely with them in the office. Our producer, Bennett Wakenight, is the millennial in charge here, and I learn something new every day from him. I mean, that's something, too, that you can do, right?
Bennett's a very smart guy.
Yeah.
I would listen to what he has to say.
But is that the case with financial planning and wealth advisors? Do you have millennials in the place that...
The millennials coming up in the financial segment, I would say, are smarter than we were at that stage in life. And I think they're more educated, they're more worldly. And yes, I think they're going to be very effective in the financial world.
All right. Doug, always good chatting with you. We'll see you again next time.
Thank you, Steve.
Doug, always good chatting with you. We'll see you again next time.
Thank you, Steve.
Doug Myers is the Senior Vice President and Private Banking Regional Manager at Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader Conversation. We'll do them every Thursday here on The Opening Bell. You can hear our past conversations at WGNRadio.com and at AssociatedBank.com/thoughtleadership, where you can meet all of the thought leaders and make sure you follow Associated Bank on Twitter @AssociatedBiz.